day, and welcome to the MHG Fourth Quarter 2014 International Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Marine Harvest Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and welcome to the presentation of the fourth quarter, 2014 for Marine Harvest. To present today, is myself, CEO in Marine Harvest, Alf Helge Aarskog, and CFO, Ivan Vindheim. I will just go right into it, and I might jump a little quick on some slides, but still just take notes and ask question after when we open up for questions. Slide two, it's just to state that there might be forward-looking statements, and this is a requirement when we are listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Then we turn on to slide three, which shows the operational highlights in or the highlights in this quarter. An operational EBIT of a little bit north of 1 billion NOK in the quarter. What recognized the quarter was weak prices in Americas and some higher costs due to biological issues in Europe. We entered into a conditional agreement to merge with Marine Harvest, to merge Marine Harvest Chile with AquaChile Chile during the quarter. We also realized that our feed production unit or feed plant is even more efficient than we thought and recognized before. And we can see that we can produce 80% of the fish feed need in Norway from this one plant, which will result in that we will not do a second investment in the near future in Norway. The quarterly dividend the board has decided will be 1.20 per share, and this to be paid in form of repayment of paid in capital. On to slide four, key financials. Just a few numbers there. Record high operational revenue in this quarter at 6.863 billion, compared to 6.743 billion in Q4  2013. If we look at the top line for 2014 as a whole, close to 25.5 billion NOK, compared to 2013 at 19.23 billion NOK. So quite a significant top line growth of the company. The same is the case for the operational EBIT in the quarter, about the same number as Q4 2013. But in the year as a whole, 4.2 billion compared to 3.2 billion in 2013. Harvest volume, we grew from 343,000 tons in 2013 to close to 419,000 tons in 2014. If you go to slide five, you'll see the development in the market and the market prices in Norway, in Chile, with reference price in Miami, and in North America, with the reference price in Seattle. What we saw in the fourth quarter was a massive Chilean supply growth of close to 20%. Also, supply growth in the north from the North American producer at 10.6%, and this led to weak prices in Americas as a whole. In Norway or in Europe, the prices held up well, but maybe was a little bit weaker than what we expected. And this we explain partly, at least, to the weakening of the Russian ruble and the weakening of the Russian market as a whole. Price achievement on slide six, basically good price achievement in the regions we operate in this quarter, and relatively good superior share. If we then go to page seven, which explains the way we go from operational EBIT in Q4  2013 at 1.037 billion to this quarter or the quarter Q4 2014, 1.032 billion. And you can see the change in the results in the different divisions we are operating in. The feed division, the operational EBIT for feed was 61 million NOK. We posted a loss there in the fourth quarter of 2013 at 23 million loss, and thus the difference of 84 million NOK in the quarter or between the two quarters. The big negative here is the farming operation, and the majority of the explanation of the 231 million NOK negative number here, it's 65% explained by the reduction in prices in Americas and 35% by increased cost in Europe. Mostly of the increased cost in farming in Europe is due to extraordinary sea lice treatment cost and health cost in general. Markets increased their operational EBIT with 49 million quarter-on-quarter. The VAP operation turned a negative number of 36 million into a positive number of 37 million, and then the deviation of 73 million. Morpol improved the result from fourth quarter 2013 with 19 million, and this is how we end up at the result in Q4 of 2014, explained over the value chain. Slide eight just shows the Norwegian operation. Good result for the combined regions in Norway at 12.59 NOK a kilo, and the operational EBIT here at 881 million NOK compared to 825 million NOK last year. Good price achievement overall, but somewhat increased cost here due to biological issues like sea lice, AGD, and the like. If we then take a look at the contract portfolio, we have 35% on contracts in Q1 and 32% on contract of the Norwegian volume in Q2 2015. The different regions appears on slide 10. Region South in Norway with an operational EBIT at 8.86 in the fourth quarter 2014. You can compare them to Region West, 14.02 NOK per kilo, Region Mid, 10.52 NOK per kilo, and Region North, 15.01 NOK per kilo. All in all, 12.59, as mentioned. In terms of the different regions and challenges in the different regions, sea lice, CMS, PD is the challenge in Region South, as well as we are harvesting spring smolt there, and they had somewhat higher cost on the different sites we harvested in this quarter. Region West, good result, but also there we see some sea lice challenges and treatment challenges and losses when we treat for sea lice. That is the same picture in Region Mid, but even more severe. Region North, we harvested from good low-cost sites in this quarter and had a very good result. We then go to Scotland. It's the negative, maybe the negative news in this report, negative 3.42 per kilo, explained by a very low volume, a little bit north of 6,000 tons in the quarter, down from 11,700 tons in the same quarter 2013. This results in higher non-seawater costs like processing and the like, but also the result here is heavily impacted by biological issues. Looking forward, we expect the first half, and we know that the biomass that we'll be harvesting in the first half will have high cost as well. The Canadian operation, a good operationally, good quarter operational-wise, but the prices dropped tremendously, and as you can see in the waterfall there, you see that price explained the reduction in result, and remaining operation corrected part of it. That is the same for on page 13 for the Chilean operation. Fairly good operation and a relatively strong cost performance at $4.5 per kilo HOG. And then you see the same picture here, and this is obviously because of the increased supply from Chile and reduction resulting in a very low price. One point that's important to mention is that from Q1, the result in Marine Harvest Chile will be reported as discontinued operations, and this is because of the merger that's going on with Aqua Chile or the process leading up to the merger. Technical requirements due to this. Ireland, Faroe Islands, we made some money in Ireland, 4.49 NOK per kilo, a little bit more in Faroe Islands. These are both small regions, but important for Marine Harvest. One point to notice here, that there is no volume in Faroe Islands until Q4 2015. The value-added operation improved its results compared to Q4 2013, and we see some positive effect from the restructuring program, and we also had a little bit improved raw material prices because of the pricing in euros and the weakening of the NOK. The value-added operation will be integrated into Marine Harvest Consumer Products from Q1 2015. And that is a division that consists of VAP Europe and Morpol, and will be broken down into a smoked segment and a fresh and frozen segment and market their fish in the European market for the most part. If we then go to slide 17 and look at the feed result, as already mentioned, a good result, 9.3% operational EBIT, and we see a good utilization of this plant and improved utilization over the quarter, and that's why we have said that we increase the self-sufficiency expectation from 60% to 80%. And we will postpone the next expansion step in Norway and not build a second plant in Norway, and rather build it outside of Norway going forward. But no decision is made on this topic as we speak. Then I will turn the microphone over to Ivan Vindheim, that will go through the financials.
Thank you, Alf-Helge. We skip slide 19, since Alf-Helge has walked us through the profit numbers thoroughly. Slide 20, the financial position, or the balance sheet. The total balance sheet year-end amounts to approximately 37 NOK billion. This is up from 34 NOK billion from year and last year, as a result of the growth we have been subjected to. Net interest-bearing debt, 9.3 NOK billion, and equity ratio, 40%. Then over to slide 21, and the breakdown of the change in net interest-bearing debt. We started the quarter at 7.2 NOK billion, made an operational EBITDA of 1.3 NOK billion. Then we tied up working capital of approximately 700 NOK million, paid taxes of approximately 100 million, which gave a cash flow from operations of approximately 0.5 NOK billion. We also had extensive investments in the fourth quarter, 447 NOK million in ordinary capex, plus the cash effect of the Aquinova acquisition of 727 NOK million. So once again, in total, 1.2 NOK billion in investments. Net interest paid, 150 NOK million in the quarter, which is quite normal. Dividend distributed, 471 NOK million. And then the FX effect on the net interest-bearing debt of as much as 845 NOK million. All in all, that gave us a net interest-bearing debt of 9.3 NOK billion. The FX rate, the FX hit is related to the weakening of the NOK versus the euro, and somewhat the dollar. 70% of our debt is in euros, 14% is in dollars, And we are reporting in Norwegian kroner. So consequently, in Norwegian kroner, our debt increased substantially. That being said, we are managing our cash flow in euros. We are also managing our financial risk in euros. So, and in euro terms, the net interest-bearing debt was stable, disregarded the tie-up of working capital and the extensive investments we made. Then over to slide 22 and cash flow guidance for 2015. We expect a working capital tie-up of 900 NOK million for the year, a capex of NOK 1.7 billion, of which 1 NOK billion approximately is maintenance, which is more or less in line with depreciations. Structural investments of 0.5 NOK billion, which is smolt and cleaner fish. Approximately 400 million is smolt, the rest is cleaner fish, wrasse, lump suckers, etc. Other investments on capex is seawater sites, but also some on processing. Interest expenses as NOK 300 NOK million and tax payables NOK 650 million. The quarterly dividend Alferge has already commented on, so I will not repeat it now. Then over to slide 23. Our dividend policy, we are changing it from previously. We are going from a net interest-bearing debt over equity below 0.5 to a net interest-bearing debt target measured in euros. I emphasize that it is in euros. We are managing our cash flow in euros, then it's also natural and consistent to give the target in euros. The number is 1.1 billion, which corresponds to 1.85 euros per kilo of farming harvest volumes. Then we have allocated debt to value added, Morpol, and feed, plus the Aquanova acquisition is 100% leveraged. The latter amounts to $125 million US dollars. The farming part of the 1.1 billion debt is 814 million. The rest is as said, Morpol value added feed and 125 million US dollars to the Aquanova acquisition. The reason why we leverage it is to make it accretive. Over time we will take down that leverage. Overview of financing on slide 24. Nothing has happened since last time we spoke, so therefore we go directly to slide 25 and supply development. Total supply in the fourth quarter was up 3.9% year on year. That is in line with what we forecasted on when we released our third quarter results. It was a reduction in Europe and a strong growth in Americas, in particular Chile. The growth in Americas, if you go to slide 26, led to very poor prices in Americas. The supply for the year as a whole is actually up by more than 20%. So the prices have been heavily impacted by that negatively. In Europe, the price was down year on year, despite the reduction in volume, because of, first and foremost, the depreciation of the Russian ruble. We saw that the Russian import of Atlantic salmon was down as much as 50% in December. And for the quarter, it was down. We haven't come to these numbers, so I anticipate in advance. But it was down by 20% for the quarter, but as much as 50% for December. Then we go to slide 27, which I already started to comment on. Underlying demand is good in all markets, apart from already mentioned Russia, plus France. France is struggling with the economic recession. China here is down in the fourth quarter somewhat due to trouble with the Norwegian exports to China. There is some volatility related to this, but if we look at China, including Hong Kong, South Korea, and Taiwan for 2014 full year, we will see that the growth is actually as high as 70%. So hopefully this growth can continue going forward. But in the fourth quarter, we saw some hiccups of the trade, especially from Norway. Yes, Japan is down, but that's due to a substantial inventory build-up in the fourth quarter of 2013 of frozen fish. If you look at the import or the export to Japan for the full year, it's actually up by 10%. So also in Japan, the underlying demand has been good in 2014. So all in all, a good development in demand in the fourth quarter, adjusted for the comments on Russia and France and hopefully the temporary hiccups with China. Then over to slide 28 and the total supply outlook for the industry. We foresee a total global supply increase in the range of 1% to 5%. Consensus is between 2 to 3%, so our range is more or less in line with consensus. If you look at the first quarter, we have 1 to 5% growth. That's somewhat above the consensus, but for the year as a whole, we are more or less in line with consensus at this part of the year, or at this moment. If you go back to the total global supply numbers, we can see that Norway is up between 2 to 6%. Chile is actually down compared to the huge supply growth last year, which bodes well for the prices in America going forward, at least normally. But bear in mind that we are starting at a very low level. The prices in America in the fourth quarter were really poor. The global supply growth in 2014 was actually as high as 9%. So the range 1% to 5% normally bodes well for the salmon price going forward. Although we are struggling with a little bit with the Russian market due to the weak ruble. That was the industry supply outlook. Then over to slide 29 and our own volume guidance. 440,000 tons. It's down by 5,000 tons since last time due to the biological issues in Scotland. In Scotland, we are down from 63 to 56,000 tons as a result of what Alf Helge thoroughly described previously. For the first quarter, we forecast 101,000 tons, so i.e. a little bit down compared to the fourth quarter, but quite stable after all. Then we are on slide 30 and the merger, and then I give the word to Alf Helge again. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivan. I will go through just the rationale and the structure of the proposed transaction here with the merger of Marine Harvest Chile with Aqua Chile. First of all, this will form a leading player in Chile. It's not only a leading player in Chile, it's the second largest salmon farming company in the world, with 165,000 ton production of salmon in 2014, and with a capacity of 260,000 ton. This has great infrastructure both in Region 10 and Region 11, and in addition to that, this company will have 19,000 ton of tilapia, mostly produced in Costa Rica. In terms of why do this? This is really what we have been talking about all along: creating a company that can start to work even more on making a sustainable operation in Chile, both from a biological point of view and from other point of views. In the beginning, Marine Harvest will own 42.8% if the merger goes through, and other shareholders will be at around 57%. The company will remain listed on the Santiago Stock Exchange, and then there is an option for Marine Harvest to buy up to 55% starting as of 15th of June 2016. Closing of the due diligence period and closing of the merger is expected to be in Q3 2015. One point that I mentioned, but just to underline it, that the Marine Harvest Chile will be reported discontinued operation from Q1 2015. And then the slide 31 just shows you the need of consolidation in Chile. A lot of companies we've just listed down to letter P. It's a fragmented industry, and we really need consolidation to improve the biology in this country. Then over to outlook. What we see going forward is a very favorable market, and the supply is limited into the marketplace. This votes for okay prices, and if you look at the future prices, they are stated at NOK 41 for Q1 2015, and NOK 41 in fact for the entire year. Aqua Chile merger, we expect to be a catalyst for improvements in Chile. High emphasis on controlling biological cost is essential in most production unit. And then a very good story around the feed factory with increased self-sufficiency, and that we can manage with only one good plant in Norway. Quarterly dividend already said, NOK 1.2 per share. With that, we would like to open up for questions. So please state your name and ask. Or is the maybe it's the moderator who takes on the questions and read it. I don't know. We'll hear.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow the signal to reach our system. Again, please press *1 to ask a question. So we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal.
8 minutes. Bra.
We will now take our first question from Gianmarco Bonacina from Equita. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. A few small questions. The first one is about the performance in Scotland and Canada. In Q4, it was quite disappointing, or was quite weak. What shall we expect, at least for the first half of the year? Do we expect performance to be more in line with Norway, or still to be, say, significantly worse? The other question is about the Forex, because I guess most of your raw material are in dollars. So if you can remind us, for the group, the percentage of the revenues which are in dollars and in euro, and the percentage of the total cost of the company which are in dollars and in euro, because I think that probably you may have headwind from a strong dollar. The last one is about the capex for feed. When you will decide on new investments, and what kind of capex could we expect for, let's say, new investment in feed capacity. Thank you.
Okay, I will answer question one. The question was about the performance in Scotland and Canada. First, Scotland. Scotland, the reason for the weak performance in Q4 in Scotland was low volume harvested in that quarter, but also biological issues. As we write in the presentation, we expect a weak result also in the first half of 2015. In terms of Canada, it's not driven by cost. It's only basically driven by price and reduction in price. We have seen a slight increase in price so far in this quarter, and we expect the prices to continue to go, at least based on the supply in Q1. So it's a different situation in Canada and Scotland. But your question was also on the results they will compare to Norway. At this moment, we doubt that it will. The next question was on FX, Ivan, if you can.
Yes, the FX question is actually quite extensive, so I will try to keep it on an easy and overall level. But if you're not satisfied with the answer, you just continue to ask. Total revenues for Marine Harvest, FX-wise, as we have said many times, euro is definitely the predominant currency. 60% approximately is in euros, 20% US dollars. The rest is pounds, Norwegian krone, and the other currencies. In terms of cost for farming, feed accounts for approximately 50% of the cost, and if you divide the feed into the separate input factors, US dollar accounts for approximately 60%, euros 35%, and Norwegian krone 15%, 10-15%. For the other costs, they are more or less in line with the local currency. So in order to add all this up, you just look at the geographical placements of the divisions, and then you have the rest of the calculation. We are managing our cash flow in euros, so Marine Harvest is a euro company. So, and at some point, we will most likely start to report in euro. Today we report in Norwegian krona. So once again, euro is the predominant currency for Marine Harvest, not Norwegian krona or US dollars. Thank you.
Okay, so the just a follow-up, but am I right that, given the strong appreciation of the dollar in 2015, you will have some headwinds or some negative impact in the P&L, or not very much?
That's correct. The strong US dollar is the net effect of the US dollar is not positive for us. But the strong euro is expected or is supposed to be good for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, euro is more important than US dollar for Marine Harvest. But then I'm talking about the short term effect. We have our financing in euros, so the change in the value of that, at least measured in Norwegian krone, will offset some of it. So hopefully the total here over time comprises a hedge.
Okay.
So we, you know the other Norwegian farmers, they are much more exposed to the change in Norwegian krone than we are, because we have much of our operations outside Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Take more for the value added business, for instance, which accounts for approximately 9 billion. Of total turnover of 25 billion, almost all of it is in euros.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. The third question was on capex on feed and eventually when a decision like that will be made. We have not stated anything about that, but the focus now will be to merge the Aqua Chile, Marine Harvest Chile organizations, and then we will look into if maybe Chile or Scotland will be the next feed mill. But but not stated anything about when this decision will be taken, but it will not be in 2015, more likely towards the end of 16 or 17.
Okay. And sorry, just another small follow-up I forgot to ask before. In the report, you mentioned that your convertible bond, they are anti-dilutive. Can you, if it's possible, just very briefly explain how it's possible that convertible is not dilutive for earnings per share? Thank you.
Just please hang on a minute. Yes, you find the answer in note 9 in the disclosures, but I guess you're referring to it. Hello?
Okay. Yes, sorry. Yeah, I was reading note 9, where they say basically that the bonds are in the money, but the EPS were anti-dilutive. The effect of the EPS is anti-dilutive.
Yeah, But accounting-wise, you cannot add on a gain because of the increase in share price. So this is accounting rules. So
okay.
It doesn't have any it doesn't have any cash flow effect or a real effect. This is the accounting rules.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a little
okay.
bit.
Thank you.
It's a little bit technical. But we are not allowed to book a gain. If we did that, it would have increased our earning per share, and we are not allowed to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, please ensure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow the signal to reach our system. As an additional reminder, to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There appear to be no further questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, then we will just thank everybody for participating in the phone conference, and we will be back with the first quarter of 2015 in April. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.